Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the eClerx Services Limited's earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rohitash Gupta. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. Extremely sorry for the delayed start due to a technical glitch on the conference bridge. I welcome you all to the eClerx earnings call for the first quarter of FY16. It has been a very well-rounded quarterly performance on account of satisfactory organic growth, strong profitability, and consolidation of CLX results on expected lines. Our dollar operating revenues were $46.4 million in Q1, which is 14% up quarter on quarter and 28% up year on year. This includes revenues of CLX for the period since 22nd April 2015 at about $4.5 million. The organic constant currency sequential growth for Q1 was 4%. The Q1 operating revenue at rupees 298 crore grew roughly at 37% year over year, while total revenue at 314 crore grew at 44% year over year. The operating margin percentage for the quarter is 30% compared to 23.2% last quarter. CLX came in for the part quarter at 19% operating margin, while eClerx native business came in at 31%, giving us a blended operating margin percentage of 30% in Q1. This 30% consolidated OPM also includes 100 bips increase due to the change in goodwill amortization policy to better align ourselves with the impending adoption of Ind AS next year. The profit after tax of over 73 crores in Q1 is the best ever bottom line that eClerx has achieved in any given quarter, and it saw a 37% increase year over year. This high PAT includes one-off gain of about 11 crore due to revaluation of euros kept for CLX acquisition funding. And that was offset by about 5 crore one-time write-off due to reassessment of prior period deferred tax assets. On the other income front, the investment income dipped significantly this quarter due to the money used towards CLX acquisition, which reduced our cash balance. The hedge gain loss was almost negligible as most of the pre-AS 30 hedge gains were more than offset by the MTM change. This line item will increasingly become insignificant towards the H2 of this year as we deplete our remaining pre-AS 30 hedges. The revaluation and realized gains stood at 14.5 crores rupees, which includes the one-off big item of 11 crore due to revaluation of euro kept for acquisition, as I spoke about. We also had a revaluation loss of 2.4 crores due to the addition of CLX, half of which was one-time consolidation effect, and the remaining was due to the currency movement affecting the balance sheet items of CLX. Remaining 6 crore gain was due to revaluation of eClerx balance sheet items due to the currency dollar INR movement. We have a very strong forward hedge book worth $111 million. With a strike rate of 68.59 rupees to a dollar. Hedge ratio will trend lower from now on due to the addition of CLX revenues, which has majority of cost in the same currency as the currency of its revenues, and thus having a natural hedge. Almost 100 million of these 111 million hedges will reflect into our operating revenue over next 2 years at the effective rate of 68.2 rupees to a dollar. Moving to the detailed P&L, the employee cost as a percentage of operating revenue increased noticeably due to CLX addition, wage hikes across the board, an increase in onshore delivery, which was partly offset by the increase of bonus and retirement benefits in Q4 that we saw last year. Our G&A has come back to our historical levels of 12 to 13% now. However, G&A of CLX is slightly higher percentage of OPR, which got added this quarter. And hence, the number is likely to be volatile in a narrow range as we go forward through this year. The quarter-on-quarter drop in G&A is primarily due to Q4 effect, where CLX transaction costs were booked in the legal cost head. Selling and distribution as percentage of operating revenue has also come down significantly because of CLX coming with lower S&D as percentage of its own OPR. Further, we had lower marketing cost in Q1, which is likely to increase as the year progresses. And we have also done clearer realignment of some onshore staff into delivery roles now, and hence these costs have now moved out of S&D cost and gone into the employee cost bucket. Depreciation reduced due to recurring year start effect when the net block is reinstated to the new lower levels after the WDB of last year. And also we have changed the amortization policy, so there is no amortization charge for the goodwill either due to AGI, Agilist, or due to CLX now. We had 358 crores of cash and cash equivalent at the end of the quarter, which includes 129 crore dividend, which was subsequently paid out in July. We added 500 seats capacity that went live in Chandigarh. And that city now also hosts a small footprint of our digital business in addition to the cable. We have provided for 1.3 crores of corporate social responsibility expense in the quarter in line with our overall year plan of about 5 crore. Lastly, in continuation of several innovative and industry-leading changes done in human capital management policies last year, we have now earmarked up to 2 crores to support employee entrepreneurship program to create a differentiator to attract and groom high-caliber business leaders. Our business concentration metrics like top 5 revenue share, geographic dependence on Americas, and dollar dependence have improved significantly due to addition of CLX business this quarter, which has helped us de-risk our profile as per the stated long-term intent. The decrease in DSO of our native business was partly offset by relatively higher DSOs of CLX business, thus showing a modest overall decline to 78 days from 81 days of last quarter. We have added a new metric of top 10 revenue concentration to convey our focus on this next frontier. Our FT business mix has dropped noticeably as CLX revenue model is largely transaction or project-based or IP-based. Staff utilization has now been very steady for last many quarters at roughly about 65%. We have also now discontinued providing the total client build and the new client added metrics from this quarter onwards. We feel that the new client addition and in our long tail revenue curve were not reflective of our concentrated business. And that effect got magnified with the long list of clients that CLX has brought with it. We will now let you focus only on the 500,000 plus client list and movement therein. So we got two net additions in the $500,000 to $1 million bucket range, while we added three net clients in the $1 million to $5 million bucket. Two new entrants in the $500,000 bucket and one new entrant in the $1 million plus bucket are due to CLX revenues. And out of these three clients, two were common retailer clients of eClerx and CLX, while the third one is a popular luxury brand. Since these revenue buckets are constructed using the last 12 months revenue reported, you can hope to see a few more CLX client logos added in the list as we consolidate more quarters of revenue through this financial year. Top five clients have shown a constant currency YOY growth of 8% this quarter, while the native emerging portfolio continued its momentum with 45% YOY constant currency growth. Now with the addition of CLX, our emerging business has become 80 million run rate with a stronger mix of digital capabilities. The delivery and support headcount was over 8,700 at the quarter end, with eClerx now establishing its global delivery capabilities with operations in three European and two Asian countries, including India. The BD and sales staff count has dropped slightly to 82 from the last quarter's number, despite the addition of CLX sales staff. The primary reason for this decrease is that we have now made our reporting more reflective of our true business development headcount by excluding a few onshore admin roles and realigning some partly onshore delivery roles into employee cost bucket. The India attrition stood at 31% for this quarter, which is slightly up compared to the full FY15 number, given the fact that last year attrition was less due to radical changes in pay and performance management policies, which since then have become new normal. We have inherited 160 crores of goodwill on consolidation of CLX, which has increased our intangible assets. The net current assets have decreased due to reduction in cash balance on account of CLX acquisition. Minority interest head has appeared in both balance sheet and P&L because of CLX Thai entity, which has direct minority shareholding of CLX Europe as per the applicable Thai incorporation regulations. With this, I hand over the call back for Q&A.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handset while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star and one. Our first question is on the line of Manik Taneja from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Hi, congratulations to the management team for strong execution. If you could give us some outlook across the three segments of our native business. And second question was with regards to margins more over the near to medium term. If you could help us understand if there was any one-off benefits to margins, because we've delivered 30% EBIT margins despite the headwinds from wage hikes and CLX consolidation. So how should one be thinking about operating margins going forward? Thank you.
Rohitash, maybe I can take the first one and you can take the second one on margins.
Okay.
So in terms of an outlook, Manik, you know, I would say that nothing much has materially changed in terms of our expectations from the year. As we've been sharing in prior calls, we see FY16 also to be roughly similar to FY15 in terms of organic growth, somewhere between 10 and 15% in dollar terms. Within that, we will have lumpy quarters. This quarter was clearly very good for us. But overall, you know, we think that the outlook is unchanged. At the business level, we continue to expect the cable business to grow strongly this year. We have a good pipeline, and there are lots of meaningful discussions going on for growth opportunities with clients. For digital, also, you know, I think the outlook is decent. And I think for us, more importantly, is how we are able to integrate with CLX to create some cross-sell opportunities and revenue synergies across the two businesses. For banking, you know, I think it will be an environment similar to last year, where we continue to see some opportunities in compliance and risk management areas and regulatory compliance, which will offset some of the declines that we are seeing from our erstwhile derivative-centric business. But overall, you know, I think bottom line to net it out, we would see similar outlook in FY16 as what we actually delivered in FY15. With that, over to Rohitash for the margins.
So, Manik, if you look at the operating margin for this quarter, only for the native business, it came in at 31%. The only change or exceptional item, I would say, in that is the removal of amortization of goodwill, which was a 3 crore charge till last quarter on account of amortization of Agilis goodwill, right? So that's the only change. If you exclude that and try to, you know, prepare a comparative from last quarter, I think our operating margin for native business would be 30%, which is what we have been roughly guiding at for long now.
Help us understand the breakup of the impact between wage hikes, the CLX consolidation, and the on-site reorg in terms of impact on margins.
So the reorg part does not impact the operating margin, because whichever bucket you put the employee cost, it you know, it gets into the operating margin level. So that is not the reason. As far as CLX effect is concerned, yes, they have a higher employee cost as a proportion of revenue. And the overall operating margin for CLX in this part quarter was 19%.
Sure. Thank you, and all the best for the future.
Thank you very much. Our next question is in the line of Vishal Desai from Axis. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Just wanted to get a better sense coming from the previous question. What would have been the impact of the wage hikes that we had seen during this quarter?
Vikash?
So Vishal, we have given around 10% headline wage hikes to the India staff.
Okay.
And about 4 to 5% for onshore.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that typically causes around 200 to 250 bips impact on the standalone eClerx P&L, excluding CLX.
Sure. Thanks for that. Just on the selling and distribution expenses and the G&A, which probably if you see it from a year-on-year perspective is around 100 bips higher and 100 bips lower in case of G&A and selling and distribution. Could you give us some trajectory as to do we see this going up, given that you all are saying that some amount of S&M investments will be made?
So I will talk about G&A and probably PD or Anjan can talk about S&D investment also.
Hmm.
So G&A for this quarter was roughly 12% or so.
True.
And if you look at the historical range of our native business, G&A has been trending 11 to 14%. I think last year was significantly higher, especially the last quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now it is trending back to the overall long-term trend with increased scale. And also due to addition of CLX, which has almost similar percentage of G&A as a proportion of its own operating revenue, around 13%, 13.5%, right? So overall, I think we are back in the range of 12 to 13% for G&A, including CLX. Mm-hmm. And this number will remain volatile depending upon, in a very narrow range, depending upon what all initiatives we take or what all projects we entail, which may include some increased legal cost or some other cost head for that matter.
Sure.
And on selling and distribution expenses, as you might have noticed over the last 2-3 years, we have significantly increased our investment in sales and account management. But we now think that those teams are more or less right-sized for the business that we have. And so I would expect in future our costs for selling and distribution to be more or less constant as a percentage of revenue. So
mm-hmm.
although this quarter was a little lower, but I would say somewhere between 15 and 16%
mm-hmm.
would be representative of where that number might settle.
Sure. And in terms of CLX, we are expecting momentum in terms of how is the business momentum that you all are seeing on that on a standalone basis?
Anjan, do you want to take that?
Sorry, could you repeat the question?
On a standalone basis for CLX, how are you seeing the business environment there and anything significant in terms of traction that you would like to point out?
I think the business continues as normal. Part of the rationale for them coming to us and us purchasing the company was that they felt that they could get more traction under the umbrella of a stronger parent than they were under the very distributed ownership structure that they had in the past. So certainly what we're finding is that we're having more meaningful conversations both as individual CLX and as a combined entity. So over the next year, we would expect, performance to be good. Now, it's to be seen what exactly these guys can do because, to some extent, it's a new business for us. But certainly the early signs from Q1 and Q2 seem to be that they're getting good traction. Very strong team, both in the sales side and from the execution side, so we're pretty confident about the app.
Sure, thanks. That's all from my side.
Thank you very much. A reminder to our participants, if you have any questions, you may press star and one. The next question is on the line of Shubham Gupta from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my question is around the productized offerings that we have been talking in last number of calls. So, sir, what's the proportion of revenues that you generate from these productized offerings and which are the verticals around which they are focused on? So, are they focused on around all the three verticals or it's just focused on one or two of the verticals?
So, maybe I can take a crack at that. I think that strategy is aimed broadly across all of our three businesses, but I would say the relative maturity of each business, is somewhat different. So starting with our cable business, which has historically been organized along product lines, I would say that the strategy of productization is pretty well advanced. and therefore most of the revenue for that business is coming along the products that we are pushing. Then if I next talk about the banking business, I would say that, it's a journey that we've started. So there are certain products we've created and investments we've made in terms of hiring people around specific areas of opportunity. For example, regulatory compliance, which I talked about earlier. So I would say that's, more of a work in progress. And similar is the report card in the digital business. So while CLX is very heavily productized because of the way that business has evolved over the years, our native business is now starting on that journey. So big picture, I would say that maybe roughly half of our revenue today would be coming in the area of our chosen products. The other half would be sort of legacy revenues. But over time, we're trying to shift that mix.
Okay. Sir, and what will the margin profile of these offerings? Will they be margin dilutive for the company, overall company revenues or not?
Today, there is no systematic difference in margins between those two buckets of revenue. Of course, the hope is that if we are successful in this transition, then it helps improve our win rates, at least in those product areas for new business, and also maybe gives us some potential to amortize costs better and therefore improve margins. But for the near future, I would say we don't really expect any difference in margin between the two buckets of revenue.
Okay. And sir, one more, sir. Continuing on the same line, sir, your fixed price revenues this quarter has gone from 5 to 15%, I guess. So this is mostly due to CLX, I guess. And when we are talking about productized offerings, most of our revenue shouldn't they come from fixed price instead of time and material basis? So if we look at the last 2 years, our time and material proportion of the revenues have been largely constant at around 95% or so. But if we talk about productized offerings, so a large proportion of revenue shouldn't come from fixed price contracts instead of time and material contracts?
So we are not defining productized revenues based on the commercial model, whether you charge FTE or whether you charge on a transaction basis or an outcome basis. The way we think about a product is that it's a similar service that is being sold to multiple clients, perhaps using similar processes and similar workflow tools, IT tools on our side. And it's an area where, we built a good footprint in the marketplace for that industry need. So that's how we are thinking about a product, and it's less about the choice of commercial model. It's more about multi-tenancy and sort of dominance in the marketplace in that limited area.
Okay, thanks. No questions from my side.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Pankaj Kapoor from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. PD, if I take a slightly longer range view, do you think that the organic top-line growth of us is now trending more in a matured phase, maybe in the 10 to 15 bucket which you have been talking about, and likely because of not many white spaces left where we can push our services into? Which means that from a top-line perspective, it will be more of inorganic momentum which will come from any selective acquisition that we do over the year.
So, Pankaj, I would say yes. I mean, clearly, if you look at our performance for the last three financial years, organic growth since FY12-13 has been in that low double-digit range between 10 and 15%. And even as we look forward, I have no reason to say that it's going to be significantly better. So I think it is an accurate statement to say that the organic trajectory we are on is between 10 and 15%. As far as inorganic opportunities go, it is somewhat, it's hard to predict what will happen in that area because it's very opportunity and event driven. Having said that, both Anjan and I feel that, in our business, there's a fairly large number of niche to mid-sized assets, which could be interesting opportunities for us to look for. So, it is not unrealistic to say that you may find opportunities once every 2, 3, 4 years to find an asset where everything makes sense. But organically, you're right. I think somewhere between 10 and 15% is where we are at right now.
Sure. So just on an organic basis only, if I have to look at then, and you mentioned earlier about the transition from services to more productized services kind of a thing that you are attempting, does it mean that the earning momentum on organic basis in going going forward will be more driven by margin expansion. Is that the picture, financial picture, which I should be building in?
I'm not sure, Pankaj, because I think our margins are, you know, compared pretty favorably with most of our peers out there. So the way we are thinking about it is that over the long term, hopefully profit will compound in the same fashion as revenue. So if we can keep margins constant, then I think that's sort of how we see it.
Okay.
I'm not sure I would bake in a possibility of margins improving from where they are substantially.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankur Rudra from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. Congrats on good numbers. Could you help me understand how the business has broken up now that you've got effectively slightly more business segment in terms of perhaps digital banking and cable?
Ritash, you want to take that?
Sorry, Ankur, you were talking about the growth? Or
yeah, the growth and how the business breaks up now.
Okay. So as you can see, CLX came in with a run rate of slightly more than $20 million, even if you count for the part period. And the native business last year exit run rate was $154 million or thereabouts, which is now 4% up. So till last year, so I will not talk about Q1 because it has a CLX effect, but till last year, the breakup was, you know, capital markets or financial services was slightly higher, slightly more than 40%, and digital, erstwhile digital marketing services was slightly less than 40%, and the rest being cable. Now to that, 20 million worth of run rate or more than that has been added because of CLX, which squarely goes into digital. So now with that, you know, digital will be much stronger vertical when we think about our three distinct businesses.
Okay, and does that make, so from a full year perspective, you think this sort of run rate will sustain? You don't see any difference in sort of relative growth rates across these? I mean, I was assuming cable was growing a lot faster. How do you see that growing for the rest of this year?
Yeah, cable will edge out the remaining two verticals if you talk only about the native business per se. But I think that distinction will lose its meaning, especially for the digital vertical, as you know, Anjan and PD mentioned about the possibilities of cross-selling either way. So I don't know if we can make that distinction, but on a native basis, if we can somehow carve out, I think cable will edge out, at least for this year, the remaining two native verticals.
Okay. And just wanted to understand, you know, clearly your top five companies have also given you decent growth this time, 8% constant currency year over year. What makes you, I mean, I noted PD's comments earlier, what makes you still a bit more skeptical about not increasing your organic growth rate expectations?
PD?
Ankur, let me take that. You know, I think that's simply driven by the fact that we have lumpiness across quarters. So while there is no doubt that this quarter was very strong on a number of fronts, organic growth as well as margins, I'm sure somewhere in the course of the year, we'll also have a quarter that's not as strong. But the good thing, I think, is our top five clients returned to some growth compared to a flattish performance last year. Our expectation is for the year as a whole, you know, hopefully we'll see somewhere in the mid-single digits kind of growth for the top five. But if the non-top five keep growing, you know, somewhere between 30 and 50% as they've done in the past, that's a fantastic outcome, at least as far as management is concerned, because, you know, it's great growth and it also helps us de-risk the business.
And you basically got most of the billing rate increases you were hoping for, I'm guessing, from the numbers.
We've got some of them, and there are one or two which will come in later on in the year. But yeah, I mean, I think, again, from a realization perspective, I think where we are compares, you know, decently with what our competition is doing.
Should we bake in about 2-odd% increase there in realization for the large customers?
I think the more realistic assumption would be to assume that for the rest of this financial year, realizations stay roughly where they are.
Okay, and wanted to get one sort of bookkeeping question. The headcount you mentioned in the slides is mentioned as India, but is that including CLX? Is 8,700 odd?
8,747 includes CLX.
And just to clarify, what was the headcount added because of CLX?
So CLX is roughly 300 people all across, including a high single digit of sales staff.
Okay. And just lastly, what was the actual, you know, maybe BIPs impact of that moving of the cost base, some of the cost base from S&D to gross? You know, you mentioned this restructuring. I know there's no change in margins, but just wanted to understand from a long-term perspective, how does that impact?
So Ankur, I don't want to give you a number simply because some of these roles are project-based, right? Especially the onshore consulting ones. So, you know, I don't want to give you a misleading number for this quarter, which may or may not hold good in long term.
Okay, but I think the 15 to 16% number that PD mentioned, that's what we should assume as your long-term S&D costs in the
Yeah, that's board. Right. That's right.
Okay, thank you, Mr.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhu Babu from Centrum. Please go ahead.
So what would be the gestation period for, you know, getting the fructifying dreams from this cross-selling of CLX? And how is the competition from IT services players? Because if you say Accenture and all, substantially having this digital design and all that acquisitions.
Anjan, do you want to take that?
Yeah, sure. We've had some early meetings with joint customers at senior levels with both CLX and eClerx management, and those meetings have been very positive. So, you know, as you know, and I think PD was speaking about the productization strategy that we have across all our businesses extends also to digital. In fact, the reason for CLX being added to our portfolio was that we see the work they do in digital asset management technology and in content creation as a very good add to our content and commerce product. So as we take that to the market, we feel that we're having very interesting conversations where our analytics and content and commerce activities are being discussed with their clients and their content creation capabilities and their DAN tool, or the digital asset management tool that's being discussed with our clients. And we're seeing demand. So it's to be seen how we convert it, but they're certainly, we're certainly seeing more potential than we did without them in our portfolio. That's the answer to your first question. The answer to your second question about big IT, I would argue that big IT has always been there, and it continues to be there. So, you know, I think we compete at different levels. So, you know, whereas I think you'll find, as always has been the case, the big IT tends to come from top down, where they'll come in from the CIO office or the CEO office. And do large transformational change programs. We tend to go the other way, where we will go into individual stakeholder buyers, solve specific problems, and extend our footprint from there. And I think at the moment, we're seeing that there's room for both to operate, and that's certainly playing out in some of the numbers that we've seen in this quarter.
And, sir, I mean, I missed the earlier part of the call. So any, what was the wage hike for the quarter, and attrition has spiked up. So what is the outlook there?
So, Madhu, we have given around 10% headline hikes to our India delivery staff, and the onshore staff hike was around 4%. And about the attrition, yes, the attrition in Q1 when compared to the full FY15 is about 300 bps higher. But keep in mind that, you know, last year we had done radical changes in the performance management as well as pay policies, which, you know, which almost 12 to 15 months have passed now, and that has become a new normal. So the attrition in this year will be more in line with the historical averages, and you will not see the blip down that we saw in FY15.
Okay, sir, thanks.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind our participants that you may press star and one if you have any questions. The next question is from the line of Vishal Desai from Axis. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the follow-up. Just wanted to check on a standalone reported numbers which you all have published, there is a significant jump in the revenue of around 14.6%. Could you just roughly take me through this, Rohitash?
The standalone numbers pertain only to eClerx India.
Okay.
And it does not account for Agilist or CLX revenues. And our cable business has gone through several rounds of transformation as far as contract structuring and an entity which contracts the business is concerned. So that standalone number may not be very reflective of what you want to interpret from that. You have to look at console business only, because revenues could be parked anywhere depending upon what clients choose to contract with.
Fair enough. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Our next question is in the line of Abhishek Shindadkar from ICICI Direct. Please go ahead.
My question has been answered. Thanks.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions, please press star and one at this time. Our next question is on the line of Pranav Kshatriya from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, this is Sandeep from Edelweiss. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to ask the question. So, PD, I have a couple of questions. One, as you already have given an idea on the legacy business, where you're saying that, you know, 10 to 15% is the kind of growth we should expect. Any direction on the CLX side? Means I'm not asking for specific guidance, or I don't want to add both them up and reach a number, but if you can give directionally, how do you see?
Sorry, is your question about expected growth rates on CLX?
Yes, means some direction on that side.
So, you know, I think we disclosed their historical numbers when we announced the acquisition. And as you would have seen from that, they've had a little bit of an up and down, you know, last 2-3 years, revenues going both up and down.
Right.
But as we sit right now, you know, I think aiming for a similar growth rate as our native business, around 10%, seems to be realistic. So that's what we're looking for over the next 12 to 18 months.
Okay. So which means that, you know, overall our revenue growth will itself be in 10 to 15% range with probably similar kind of margins. So similar kind of earnings is what you're expecting. Growth, earnings growth is what you're expecting.
Yeah, I think somewhere between 10 and 15% on a consolidated basis, as we you know, explained earlier, is what the outlook is. And from a margins perspective, yes, you know, you'll see some volatility quarter on quarter, but somewhere in that 29-30% operating margin range is what we see.
Okay, thanks. Thanks. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sachin Gupta, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, can you give some color on the new two clients that you added in the 1 million category? Which practice are they from? And also on the clients which got upgraded into the 1 to 5 million category. That's it.
Vikash?
Yeah, so actually there were three net clients that got added to the 1 to 5 million bucket. And two in the half million to 1 million bucket. So there was a net addition of 2 plus 3 is equal to 5 clients in half million plus bucket. Out of these 5 clients, one client was from cable, and two were retailer clients, which were common between eClerks and CLX. One was luxury brand. And last one was another client from DMS vertical, but not from retail segment.
And just another follow-up question. So now that you have these 10 $1 million, $1 to $5 million clients, so if you compare them with your top five clients, which are quite significant in size, so do you see a potential that some of them over maybe the next 2-3 years grow to as big as one of your top five clients?
So let me take that. You know, as you can guess from the numbers, our top five clients are giving us a little over $100 million in revenues. So on average, they're $20 million each or thereabouts. So I think, you know, at the current stage, the clients which are today 1 or 2 million, it's not easy to envisage how we get them to 20. Our limited objective right now would be over time to migrate some of them at least to the 5 million bucket.
Okay, just last question from my side. So now that the top five clients witnessed some growth, so could you give some color on which particular verticals are the ones that are growing? Or is the top client again growing? How is that?
So actually, our top five clients represent all three businesses, And we had some growth, as it so happens, on all three sides with our large cable client in digital services as well as in banking. So we had, you know, some growth, not exactly even, but we had growth in all three businesses. So that was an encouraging sign.
Hello, that's it from my side. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Mr. Gupta. A reminder to our participants, if you have any questions, you may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Madhu Babu from Centrum. Please go ahead.
So, hedge gains, can you give me a picture of what the forward hedge gains will be? And that would be reflected in the top line, right, now with the AS30 norms?
Our total hedge book is 111 million, out
okay.
of which 11 million are hedges which fall under pre-AS30 regime.
Okay.
And they will strike at 72 rupees a dollar, and most of them will deplete by the third quarter of this year. So this will definitely go into other income.
Okay.
And they will be offset by the MTM gain or loss that happens. So you should not just, you know, factor that 72 is a very good rate compared to the spot and build-in hedge gains, because it will be offset by MTM, point number one. Point number two, around 100 million worth of hedges are post-AS30 regime, and they will strike at 68.2 rupees a dollar over next 2 years.
Okay, and that will come in the revenue line, right?
That will come in operating revenue. Correct.
So this quarter, what was the gain? You were disclosing that number? Or?
No, we are not disclosing that, but obviously that has become normal since we adopted it almost 15 months back.
Okay, sir, fine, thanks.
Thank you. To ask a question, you may press star and one. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mundra for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, everyone, for taking the time for attending our call this evening. Apologize once again for the technical problem that led to the delayed start, and we look forward to talking with you again with our Q2 numbers in a couple of months. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of eClerk Services Limited, that concludes today's conference call. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.